Like last week, all you need is a basic sitter. Because like last week, I want to continue our trend of looking afresh at Mizmorim of Tehillim that are a part of our every day, every week cycle. We're going to take a look at Mizmor Chaf, which is almost a daily part of our davening. I'm not saying Yan Hashem B'Yom Tzara, that we say every day towards the end of Shacharis in between Ashrei and Uval Letzion, as we begin to wrap up the davening. And yet, as we're going to see, there might not be another mizmor that is more apropos to our moment in time in particular, to this moment of Jewish history, both as a tefillah, as a vehicle for us to daven HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as well as a perek that can teach us, as well as a perek that provides limud. So let's take a look. Let's look with open eyes at Yan Hashem B'Yam Sar. Lam Natzeich Mizmor L'David. Even that introductory pasuk is already a subject of some machlokas harishonim that begins to capture a lot of what we'll notice as we begin to not only say but learn this parak, and hopefully through learning to be able to feel this parak and daven with this parak that much more. Lam Natzeich Mizmor L'David, the rishonim point out that opening pasuk is really a little bit complicated. L'David, how do you translate that lamed? You mean this is written by David, or this was said about David? Is it by David, or is it for David?
It seems to be throughout the Tehillim we have.
Right, so throughout the Tehillim, you hear a lot of L'David, Tehillah L'David, for instance, an even more common parak. But as we see, much as we saw last week with the Mizmor Tzadi Aleph, with Yoshe B'Seisr Elyon, as we begin to look with open eyes at this parak, you know, it's also trying to figure out who's speaking and to whom. So let's just sort of read the parak once and just lightly translate and think, and then we'll sort of dig a little deeper and see some of the themes that emerge and some of the pearls that stick out. Yanecha Hashem b'yom tzara, may HaKadosh Baruch Hu answer you in a yom tzara, in a day of travail. Yisagevcha, Shem Elohe Yaakov, in the name of the God of Yaakov, raise you up. Yishlach Ezrecha Mikodesh, may he send help to you from the holy place. Umitzion Yisadeke, may he support you, Sa'ad, from Tzion. Yizkor Kol Menchosecha, may he remember all your menachos, V'olascha, Yidash Nasele, may your korban ola, may that fatten you, may that give you strength and substance. Yitein l'chal kilvavecha v'chal atzaschi imalei. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu give you what's in your heart. Imalei mashalos libi l'tova. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu fulfill what's in your heart. And may he complete all of your etzos. Interesting turn of phrase. You might notice already, you know, with a careful ear, there may already be a little bit of a sort of a change of mood in this pasuk. And it's even more striking. Nirana nebi Yeshua secha. Let us sing in your Yeshua. V'shem Elokeinu Nidgol, and let us, we'll have to figure out what it means to be Dogel with the name of Hashem. Yimalei Hashem Kol Mishal Zecha. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu fulfill Kol Mishal Zlibcha. Ati Yadati, now I know. Ki Hoshi Hashem Mishicha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has saved his Mashiach. Ya'anei Mishmei Kadsho. He'll answer him from the holy skies. Begvuros Yeshay Mina. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's right hand, so to speak, gives saves with gevura. Eilav Arechav, Eilav Asusim. The other nations come with chariots. We learn in the Tanakh Nevi'im Rishon about the iron chariots that were part of the cutting edge military technology of the time. And these have horses. Anachnu b'shem Hashem Elokeinu Nazkir. And we mention the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hema, those karvana follow. They fall over. They bend and they fall. They fold and they fall. V'anachnu kamim sedun. We stand straight and tall. Hashem, Hoshia, Hamelach, Ya'aneinu Kareinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, save us. May the King answer us on the day that we call. So just listen to what you notice. Just sort of like actually thinking about the psukim. Interesting patterns. Interesting words.
Start out with the bakasha.
Yeah.
And the rising.
Yeah, so that's a great point. So for starters, Yan Hashem Yam Tzara is a, sounds like a pretty heavy bakasha. Then in the middle, all of a sudden, we're singing. Right? The first couple of psukim, Yan Hashem Yam Tzara, Yishlach Ezrecha, we're asking for, talking about Tzara, we're asking for Ezer, for Sad. We need support, we need help. And then there's a Yiten Chakil Vavecha, already sounds a little more hopeful. And Rana B'Yeshua Secha, where we're singing about the Yeshua. Yeshua suddenly happened. And now then at the end, and Ata Yadati, now I know.
That's the Yeshua.
Right, now I know. So apparently Yeshua occurred. There's also interesting, let's keep going, then we'll sort of circle back again. And then we're already looking at the Yeshua that has happened. Look at that. Those armies that looked so powerful, they folded, they fell, and we're coming b'shem Hashem, we're succeeding. But then we end with the bakasha again. Hashem Hoshia Melech Ya'aneinu v'yom Karenu. So is it Hoshia Hashem Mashiach? HaKadosh Baruch Hu already has saved us. But then at the end, it sounds like we're once again davening for Yeshua that's yet to come. Okay, so that could be. So that's one sort of, there's a flow here, sort of a back and forth of Tzara and Yeshua, and then it sounds like we're almost back to Tzara again. There's also, as we saw last week in Mizmor Tzari Aleph, who's speaking? How many people are speaking? Yeah, what do you want to say? Ati Adati, all of a sudden, Pasuk Zayin is, it's a single person, I. In the previous Pasuk, Niranina, let us sing Takarish Bao, Nidgol, we are being Dogel. And then Mishal Osecha. It's me, it's we, it's you.
But Atah is
within
I, that's not you.
Yeah, you're Dati. It's I know, I singular.
I hear that. But it's now I'm saying that the Dati is that I'm confirming it.
Yeah, now I know. But the previous Pasuk was we.
The
beginning was we're talking to someone, maybe to David. Or David is speaking to someone else. And as we said, the very opening pasuk array was a little mysterious. But someone is talking to you. May Hashem answer you. You singular. May Hashem remember your menachas. May He give you kil vavecha. Then all of a sudden it's we, Nirana Bishua Secha. But then it's Ati Adati. Now I know. Is it we? Is it I? Anachnu b'shem Hashem Elokeinu Azkir. Anachnu, it's we. Hashem Hoshia Melech Ya'aneinu V'yom Karenu, also the tweet. So it's interesting, trying to figure out who's speaking, trying to figure out, is it Tzara, is this Yeshua, is it Tzara in the past, is it Tzara still in the present, is Yeshua's already arrived, or the Yeshua is yet to come.
Seems also to be a lot of careful adorning with Milutronic.
Yeah, so there's also as you said, careful English with Milutronic, a lot of repetitions with synonyms. And then, as we look also, a couple of phrases stand out, and then we'll go through the parak step by step. We refer to which people? How many people are mentioned by name in this parak? How many human beings? David and Yaakov. Interesting, right? How do we refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this parak? Shem Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei. And Elokei Yaakov. You hear again the Shem Hashem.
No,
Hashem Hoshia, Hashem Yudke Vavke, Hashem Elokeinu, right, Hashem. And then Elokei Yaakov. That's sort of interesting. How did Yaakov make it in here? Another, so that's in Pasuk Beis, we wonder about the Yaakov. We said in Pasuk Al, we wonder about the Ladavid. Pasuk Beis, the mention of Yaakov is interesting. In Pasuk Dalet, these Menachos and these Olos. The karbanos, where do these karbanos come from? Where are they going to? When are they happening? Did they happen? They will happen. And in pasuk hey, the etza, yiten lecha kil vavecha, v'chol atzascha yemalei. Interesting. We talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu fulfilling our etza. So let's take this step by step, and let's work our way through this parak. Let's think about when it's happening. Let's look at the individual psukim, and hopefully once we go through the individual psukim, we can take a step back and think about the larger themes that emerge. Think about the structure of the parak, think about the largest themes that emerge, and maybe even close by with a thought about where it fits into our davening and where it fits into this moment in our history. So the first thing is that it seems pretty clear, and the Mefarshim across the board assume that this is being said at a time of war. We're talking about the Tzara, and we're talking about the other nations who are coming with their horses or coming with their rechav. Someone's at war. So the Mefarshim discuss, and there's the one who's saying the Mizmar, and then he's speaking to or at the one who's at war. So that's why, as I mentioned, the Lid David, Lamatzech Mizmar Lid David. So it's some of the Rishonim understand that this is David, as we know, was a general, was a king and a general, a commander-in-chief who led his armies at war. So that's why some Rishonim understand that this is being said about David. But several Rashi in the Malbim point out that deep into Shmuel Beis, you hear more than once in Perek Yud Ches, and again in Perek Chaf Aleph, that there were points in time in which the army said, David, we don't want you with us. You're too precious to come out to the front lines with us. We want you to stay back. We're not sure what's going to happen to us, but we can't afford to lose you. We need you there.
When he's writing
Malach? I'm sorry, he's writing Malach. In the Avshalom Perek, in Perek Yitches, and then again, some of the later battles with the Plishtim, in Perek Chaf Aleph. So it may well be, it's both the Rashi and the Malbim understand, David HaMelech is saying this. David HaMelech had sent, he's not the battlefield, and his troops are there, and he's back behind the front lines, and he's doing what he needs to do, which is he's davening. His davening is only David can. And I think that already is incredibly powerful. This mizmor we say all the time, it is a mizmor of someone who's not at the front lines, davening for his soldiers who are at the front lines.
But if you look at the context,
yeah,
Tess and Chaval are the same thing. I don't know if we're going to talk about that, but it's the same. Lamasech is only David. The same.
Indeed.
The same stuff. Now, looking at Yuches, Lamasech Le'Evin Hashem is David. As you're saying this, it's
correct. So as Barry pointed out before, Lid David is a common phrase.
In other words,
Mikhtav
Lid David is Kezayin. Hiu Lid David is, in other words, we're modifying the version of Lid David. So are you saying that this is David HaMelech in the background, his different feelings for situationals? Or is he coming in? I mean, again, I wasn't going back all the way, but I'm saying is that, you know, like so with your gimel, it's Lamatzeh Mizol David, Lamatzeh David, Mizmol David. It kind of like it changes the verb. There's probably some significance. I'm just not really
the use of the language Lamatzeh and Mizmor. Most assume that those are musical terms in terms of the different headers. Particularly Lamatzeh and Mizmor are assumed to be musical terms. The Menatzeach might be the Rishon discussed earlier. The menatzeach might be the conductor of the orchestra or the choir that's singing this. And mizmar may be a specific type of song. This may be an instruction, the musical instructions, like you know the word or two in Italian at the top of the music. But you're right also that Lid David is used broadly, and indeed Rashi and the Malbim both understand that here too it means this is being written and perhaps recited by David. This is in David's voice, and he's speaking about his soldiers who are at the front lines, for whom he is David. Yanch Hashem b'yom tzara, and this language continues to capture that sense of distance. Kadosh Baruch Hu help you. Kadosh Baruch Hu help you. And it's gripping, and I think personally gripping, that he's speaking. The use of person, when we explored last week Mizmor Tzayalf, so we understood it as a sort of a conversation between people who are speaking to one another face to face. David's speaking to the soldiers, you, but they're not here. He's incredibly plugged into soldiers. He's David, like the way you say Bracha, Yivrach Hashem Yishmeracha, but they're not actually there to hear it physically. They're miles away. But he's
Yeah.
It, potentially he's diving before they go to the front lines, or there is geographical distance, but it's berichuk makom v'kiruv levavos. And there's another layer of richuk and kiruv also, not only between people, not only between the meshorer, probably David, and the lochamim for whom he's davening, but the next pasuk, Yishlach Ezrecha Mikodesh Mitzion Yisadeka. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu send your help from the holy place. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu send your help from Tzion. Now there's a recognition that the center of Hashras HaShechina in this world is not at the battlefield. We've spoken in other contexts the last couple of weeks about how the Chumash describes that a Jewish army base is a place of Hashras HaShechina, and many of the dinim that apply every day, every week, every year, the Kedushas Makam for Davi and learning are actually patterned after an army base. But at the same time, the primary Hashras HaShechina is in Har Bais, is in Makam Mikdash. And David, or wherever the Mishkan is, and David is saying, but may HaKadosh Baruch Hu also is in a certain sense, he's also Mimerchak, and yet very close. The Ezer is going to come from Kodesh, from Tzion, to you. So there's a Merchak between people, between me and you, yet I'm davening Mamish, Ki'ilu, I'm speaking to you. And you should know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're at the battlefield, you're far from Makam Mikdash, you're far from Yerushalayim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reach out and support. And the language is not only Yishlach Ezrecha, that sounds like a Shiluach, Mishloach Manos, that sounds like something being sent. Mitzion Yisadeka, to offer Sa'ad, it almost sounds like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to grab you by the arm, even though he's Kivayachol from hundreds of miles away. So the interplay of a recognition of distance, and yet sort of overcoming that distance, superimposing a sense of closeness on the distance, in Pasuk Beis, it's between people, and in Pasuk Gimel, it's not between people, it's almost like a Valachta Bedrachim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is at a distance from you, and yet he's hands-on, so to speak, and I also, David HaMelech, I'm not at the battlefield, and I'm at a distance, but I'm also, David Vyu Ki'ilu, or face-to-face, I'm superimposing a kiruv halev on the geographical reality of a richuk makom. And this brings us also to the Elokei Yaakov. The reference to David we understand. The only other human being, as I said before, who is mentioned here is Yaakov. And it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu is referred to here as Hashem, Hashem Elokeinu, and Elokei Yaakov. What's the Elokei Yaakov? So the Radak is Rashi notices it, and the Radak notices it extensively. The Radak actually gives three approaches. His third approach is Yaakov may be used here not as a reference to Yaakov Avinu, the person, but Klal Yisrael. We will sometimes refer to Klal Yisrael as Yisrael. We'll sometimes refer to Klal Yisrael as Altira Avdi Yaakov. So maybe it means Elokei Yaakov, the God of the Jewish people. Or he suggests, that's his third approach. His first approach is maybe we're referencing Yaakov the man, the third of the Avos. Why Yaakov more than Avram or Yitzchak? He says Yaakov suffered tzaros more than Avram did. Yaakov suffered tzaros more than Yitzchak did. Similar to what Rashi says, Rashi understands that this is tapping back into the psukim we're going to lay in a couple of weeks from now, when Yaakov is headed out, leaving Eretz Yisrael and going to Haran to spend time with Lavan to find himself a shidduch. Quite a tumultuous dating process he had. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him a haftacha that takes 20 years to fully come to fruition. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, I'm going to take care of you. I've got your back. You're going to be going to a lot of different places, be a lot of different situations, and you should know that I have your back. So as the Rashi says, that we're tapping in specifically, David HaMelech sort of referencing back, when Yaakov Avinu had to leave Eretz Yisrael, leave the comfort of where he was used to and go out into scary places, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him haftacha, so we're tapping back into Elokei Yaakov. And again, the Radak, similarly, but so more broadly, sees Yaakov as of the three of us, the one who had the most tzaras. I think we've discussed in other contexts, Harry Schechter is fond of calling the European Darshanim, that when we When the Gemara, in the very beginning, the Tefillah Sugyas, beginning the fourth pack of Brachas, and the Gemara speaks about Shachar's Mincha Marav potentially corresponding to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, so some of the European Darshanim suggested that the correspondence between the Avos and the times of day is very apropos. Avram's life was a life of mourning, a shining new beginning. He's bringing the light of monotheism to the world. He's starting a whole new project. Yitzhak, in a certain sense, was a life of afternoon. He was continuing, not creative, not groundbreaking like his father, as much as continuing the work of his father. And Yaakov is the Av of nighttime, because Yaakov suffered many more tzaras than his father and grandfather. He's the only one who went to Galus so many times. He's the only one who died in Galus. It's about Yaakov that Chazal came and Bikesh Yaakov Leishiv B'Shalva. And he thought, now he's back in Eretz Yisrael, it's going to be peaceful. And then all of a sudden, the Dina and the Yosef, his life was full of ups and downs. And as Tosas comments on Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph and Brachos, they may have mentioned it last week, L'hagid b'boker chasdecha b'munascha b'leilos, Tosas is usually a halachic discussion, but a fascinating agada and parshanut in the Tosas. He said, L'hagid b'boker chasdecha b'munascha b'leilos, sometimes, regardless of astronomically what time it is, sometimes we're at a period in personally or nationally of daytime, of morning, when things are clear, and we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chesed. And other times, it's Laila, even if the sun is shining physically, but when personally or nationally it's a time of darkness and things aren't clear, I can't speak about chesed. I don't see the chesed, but I can still speak about Amunah. I don't see the chesed, but I know that it's there. I don't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's fingerprints right now, but I know that he has my back. And that corresponds very much to the Yaakov Tikein Tfilas Arvus. So that's what we're tapping into. It's an Eis Tzara. So David says, right now we're not so focused on Lokei Avram Kei Yitzchak. It's not a Lahagi Baruch Chazdecha. Right now it's a Ve'emunascha Balelos type of moment. So Lokei Yaakov. Kadosh Baruch Hu had Yaakov's back. Kadosh Baruch Hu had Yaakov's back when he was going into scary places to terror incognito. He didn't know what was going to happen. Kadosh Baruch Hu had his back, and indeed he did. And then finally, one more exceptionally resonant approach the Radak has, his middle approach, is maybe Elkei Yaakov. I was saying Elkei Yaakov. Radak says, he says, Avram, we're descended from Avram, and so are other nations. We're descended from Yitzhak, and so is Esav. But Yaakov, we're the only ones descended from Yaakov. So this is a tefillah that Kadosh Baruch Hu should give us, the unique hashgacha, the unique care they give to the Jewish people. So specifically Elkei Yaakov. And then we can move on to say, David HaMelech goes on to say, may HaKadosh Baruch Hu keep in mind your menachos, your olos. So you're talking to soldiers at a battlefield. They're not bringing karbanos to the battlefield. So there are two ways to go here, and Rashi and Radak split the two options. So the Radak says, Yizkar, kol min chasecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should remember all the menachos you brought in the past, or all the karbanos olos, and others explain that well. In advance of going to war, they would bring karbanos before they headed. They had their chance to do their local mitzvahs, and then they had to report to duty. Rashi says, no, it's what they're doing right now. Who's bringing karbanos to the battlefield? Sort of. How? Shliach. And what do we do that's carbon like? It's tefillah. So Rashi says it means, yeah, Kadosh Baruch Hu, accept your tefillahs at the battlefield. You may be a little, it can be hard to focus, it can be hard to concentrate. We love having Neinu, a lot of tefillah katzara. And Kadosh Baruch Hu should, Olascha Yidash Nasela. Kadosh Baruch Hu should fatten up even whatever tefillahs are happening at the battlefield. And what Radak says, that Kadosh Baruch Hu should bear in mind all the past zechuyos. Again, both very, very resonant ideas. Kadosh Baruch Hu take into account the tefillah be'is tzara mamash, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu taking into account all the mitzvahs and ma'isim tovim that we've stocked up in the past at a time of a greater calm and focus. Yeah. Rabbi Dulles.
At the time we're talking about, they're in Novi Gimel, there's no Yerushalayim, there's no Mikdash. So why is it say Mitzion, which seems a little strange? Novi Gimel was the focus of the Mikdash and the Kabbalos, And secondly, were there menachos during that? I thought it was only, they could only bring shlamims and olas at the time of non-Beis HaMikdash times. Is that wrong?
Both great questions.
That's the second one. That's why it says Yizkar Kalman Chavzakar, because they're not actually bringing it now. It's a remembrance of...
But that's 100 years ago.
So you got...
That's 100 years ago. That's 100 years ago.
Well, going back to...
To Shiloh.
Okay.
Maybe.
I don't remember the din. You've got to look back at the end of Zvachim. Is it not the case that you bring a Minchas Nesachim? Can't you bring a Minchas Nesachim? At a Bama Gedola?
At Bama Gedola. I think Bama Gedola has limitations.
Okay, got to take a look. I don't remember. Got to take a look. But then in Hanabit, then in Taka is a reference to...
We
reach, as Rabbi Pale is saying, we're Ramesh reaching back deep. It's Mamash Yizkar.
Very deep.
Yeah. Or you say like Rashi, that this is actually a reference to tefillah. If it's an actual carpet, that's right. You got to take a look in Zvachim again. You got to check in Zvachim.
Or symbolic. Because we call it Minchas and Olos.
It could be. Like, Mincha sometimes means a gift that you find in the Tanakh as well.
But it's Mincha and Olos.
Right.
I mean, it seems to
me. It's interesting that Targum Yonasan translates Ola as Alva. It translates Mincha as Dorum. So that maybe he may be saying that Ola is literal, but Mincha means more generally present. Perhaps. Perhaps.
If I can answer both questions, it's Al-Shem
Asif. Yeah. That's interesting. You're saying a third possibility is that Kadosh Baruch should take into account the mitzvahs that you want to do when you emerge from this. Sort of like the end of the first parak of Yonah, where the sailors are at sea and they're ready... By Yidru, they're promising to bring karbanos. Many Rishonim say it doesn't mean they weren't bringing karbanos on the boat. It means on the boat they're promising when we get back to shore we'll bring karbanos.
So beyond that, because that's not going to help if the mikdash is not offered.
Well, once we have a base on mikdash, then we'll
right,
correct.
But the problem is it doesn't fit into the next possibility.
No, so now we're going back. The Yitzchak Kamin Chosecha. Was saying, Mei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is a chus, it's chus of tefillah, it's chus of karbanos, Mei HaKadosh Baruch Hu be zocher, again, the language of zichronos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should take into account the tefillah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should take into account the karbanos, but then we go back to what we're what's the content that we're asking for. So we're asking, Yiten l'chal k'lo v'echa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should fulfill kol mashalas li'becha. Some of the Mishonim talk about Eitzah, Chotzaschi in Malay is also specifically a military term. The Eitzah means the strategies, the Radak says. B'tachbulos tasalacham milchama, all the strategies and all the planning, specifically. Kadosh Baruch should complete and perfect and bring to fruition all of the planning. And then we shift Pasuk Vav. There already is a sense of victory, or at least a trust in HaKadosh. We could already taste the Yeshua. Nirana b'Yeshua Secha. We're going to sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'Haz Yeshua. V'Shem Elo Kenu Nidgol. Nidgol. So once again, Rashi and Radak split. Nidgol, most Rishonim take Radak's approach, that Nidgol means to fly a flag. And we'll rally around our... The ultimate flag is the Shem Elokeinu.
So basically, you said.
Yeah.
No, flags are... The rabbi talked about flags on Parshas Nasa Maloso, whichever one is. The Degalim, he said that you need to have a flag to rally around. In other words, it was a focus point.
Right.
So that, maybe it's but I'm saying, but maybe here it's telling you that going back to your Shem Elokeinu Nidgol, when you're talking about your planning, your strategy, that's your home base kind of.
Could be. I mean, Rashi doesn't talk about the flags directly. Talks about Nisa Seif and Asachai. We're going to gather together. I think maybe what you were referencing is that I think historically flags were necessary. Because on a raucous battlefield, the only way to communicate even to, for soldiers to know where their side is located, is you looked for the flag. That's why a flag bearer was a very important position on the pre-modern battlefield. That's why the drummer was a very important. It wasn't just for elegance. You needed to know where your people are. So the flag was the collection point. Now we had discussed that there were some discontinuities. From Niranana to Ata Yadati was one discontinuity. That's where we're at, right? We look forward to singing Takadosh Baruch Hu, and then Ata Yadati, now I know. So how does that transition? And then again, the other major transition was after these psukim of... So we go back to the us. Eila berechav is anachnu b'shem Hashem l'kenes here. Heimakarav of anachnu kamnu v'sadad. After that brief niranan, after that brief ata yadati. But the other major transition is the last pasuk. I remember who I pointed out. Sort of we're back to the world of tzara again. We're once again davening for Yeshua. So how do you make sense of that? So there are different approaches. Pasuk Zayin, Ata Yadati, that's singular. So the Radak says generally, well, every Jew will now say Ata Yadati. Rabbi Shua Secher, we're going to sing Takadosh Baruch Hu, and every Jew will say his own personal. The Rashi, though, I think, sort of almost adding. Punctuation. Rashi says in Pasuk Zayin, sort of like there's an open quotes. We said in Pasuk Vav, we're going to sing. And now we give you the quote. And what are we going to sing? We look forward. We shall sing Takadosh Baruch Hu brings Yeshua. And what will we sing? It's not continuing the narrative. Now is the quote. The quote is, Rashi says, Zuhi harinana sheniranein. This is what we're going to sing. What are we going to sing? When David's army comes back successful, Ata Yadati Ki Oshia Hashem Mishicho. Now I see that Kadosh Baruch Hu had the back of his Mashiach, Mashiach Hashem. Now I know that David's for real. Now I know that Kadosh Baruch Hu is really invested in Malchus Beis David. And now we reflect back what happened on the battlefield. Eil Berechav, Eil Basusim. These armies were militarily superior to us, superior numbers, superior technology, they had horses, they had metal chariots. It's like the Rabbi B'Av Me'atim and the Gibbon B'Yad Chaloshim. Anachnu, Hashem Elokeinu Nazkir. We came, we mentioned, we prayed. The Rishonim pointed out Lahazkir is sometimes used for Azkaras Ketores and sometimes used for Tefillah. And it's playing off of we asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu before Yizkar Kol Min Chosecha. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu bear in mind to be Ma'al Zikaron. But we mentioned and we davened B'Shein Hashem Elokeinu. So the Radak, what Rashi did in the transition from Pasuk Vav to Pasuk Zayin, that there's a colon, there's an open quotes. You know what the Renana will be? Renana will be Ata Yadati. The Radak does that from Pasuk Tes to Pasuk Yud. Why are we ending almost as though we're back to Tzara? Radak says, no, we just said in our Renana, those last psukim, we were saying, you know, reflect on what happened. Or the Renana was Pasuk Zayin, Pasuk Chesim Tess, or like reflecting back on what happened. Look at this success. We had come with tefillah. What was our tefillah? Here's the colon. And here's a quote from our tefillah back on the battlefield. Hashem Oshia. That was the Shem Elkeinu Naskir. Here's what we said. What we said was Hashem Oshia Melech Yaneinu V'Yom Kareinu. So now let's take a step back. We worked our way through the psukim, and a number of we were looking, you know, line by line, at different wrinkles in the psukim. Now let's take a step back and think about the larger themes. How sort of the So now that we looked at the trees, let's look at the forest. And then let's close by relating this to where we're at. So number one, we have two texts the way Rashi and Radak read this, we have two texts that are being referenced within this mizmor. There was a text of Rinana La'achar HaYeshua, and there was a text of Tfila of Bakasha of Za'aka Bishas HaYeshua. So the text of Rinana, that when we, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will have saved us, here's what we're going to say. It's interesting that's not just praising, thank you HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you did this, but there's a sense of it strengthening our emunah. That when things will have settled, not only will we say thank you, we'll say now we really see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ati adati. Now there's a deeper emunah that will flow. That's exactly what Klal Yisrael experienced 5.5 decades ago, after the extraordinary successes in 1967. It wasn't only a HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you for saving us. And it wasn't even only a HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you for expanding. Thank you for expanding Eretz Yisrael. Thank you for putting us in a safer place. There was a general deepening of emunah. That was the beginning of the tshuva movement. And there was the beginning of a reawakening of interest broadly among Jews in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in Torah, in mitzvahs. There was a general deepening of emunah that flowed from the success. It was a sort of a multi-layered renana, a thank you, a recognition of what happened, hakara satov in that sense, but also a hakara of the meitiv. There was a greater hakara of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being behind it. When you think about the tefillah, the shas ha'lechama, that closing pasuk, which is, we're quoting in retrospect, here's what we said, or here's what you and I are saying now, b'shas melchama, Hashem Hoshia, ha'melech ya'anenu v'yom karenu. So the Radak points out that is the core tefillah here. The core tefillah, there's a lot of tefillah at the beginning, but the core tefillah is that last pasuk. How do we refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Has Hashem, and also as the melech, actually a hamlacha. We used to think of that in the Rosh Hashanah context. But part of the tefillah b'shas melchama is recognizing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the king. Part of the avodah tefillah is being mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I knew we mentioned this past Shabbos that in a certain sense that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided this year that Yom Ha'Ra'im season is going to continue. Hamlacha is a key part of tefillah be'es sarah. Hamlacha is a key part of tefillah be'es melchama. Recognizing part of what we accomplish when we daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whenever you daven Shemoneh Esrei, you daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about health, about finances, about spiritual, about physical, about big things, small things, that's in part a reminder, reinforcing for us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved in our entire life, top to bottom, left to right, big and small, everything. You ask the one who can help you, but you ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu about everything because ultimately he's behind the entire kit and caboodle. Tefillah is always, in part, an exercise in reminding ourselves, be mamluch HaKadosh Baruch Hu, reminding ourselves that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the melech, meaning that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ultimately running the show. And it's tefillah b'shas melchama, Hashem Hoshia, HaMelech Ya'anenu v'yom Karenu. We remind ourselves that Ya'anenu v'yom Karenu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does hear and does respond when we reach out. And we remind ourselves that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ultimately running the show. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the melech. As we mentioned before, there's a sense of distance and overcoming distance that stands out a lot in this parak. Mentioned the sense of distance that David HaMelech feels geographically from his beloved soldiers, and at the same time he's talking straight to them and at them, and that's in part because, as he goes on to say, it's a valachta b'drachav, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is from a distance, mitzion, mikodesh, and yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being so aid, even though he is, so to speak, at a distance. And as we mentioned, the reference to Yaakov Avinu reminds us that that's the way it's been throughout history. David HaMelech is saying, Chevra, don't forget, centuries ago HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of Yaakov Avinu when he left, when he was far from Eretz Yisrael, and far from the Beis Medrash, and far from the Yohel. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is a very common theme. Once Yeshua occurs, Ati Adati, so then there's a reinforcement of the emunah, but that will flow even further, but we seek to do that work now. And let me finally close. This mizmor we opened, it says this is such a common mizmor, so we say it almost every day of the week in Shacharis, and yet it's uniquely apropos right now. It's a mizmor about Shas Melchama, and specifically for us b'nei chutz la'aretz, it's a mizmar said by one who was geographically far from the battlefield. And there's more, because ironically, the way in which it comes up all the time also speaks uniquely to this moment. Looking in Rav Munk, Rav Eliyahu Munk's Sefer on Tefillah, of the Hebrew translation, that Masada Cook put out. So he talks about the fact that we say that the daily location for this Lamanatzeach is in between Ashrei and Nevuot Tiyum. That's a minig that goes back at least 700 or more years. The Tur in the 1300s already mentions this minig. He says the Gaonim didn't have this minig, but we do. So the Lamanatzeach has been there for a long time.
Didn't say it or didn't have it there.
I don't think they said Lamatzeach as part of their davening. But the Ashkenazim, and maybe Sfaradim also, I'm not sure who he's referring to, doesn't differentiate, and he was in touch with both Kehilos, because the tour had traveled with his father from Germany to Spain. He says, but that's now it's a given that we say Lamatzeach in between. Rav Munk sees a number of threads. I'll share one with you. He talks about the connection between Lamanatzeach and Uval Letzion Gavel. Because he sees in this parak references, Uval Letzion Gavel is a tefillah based tzara, but it's also specifically a tefillah about Geula. So he points out that the language of this parak, Ki Hoshia Hashem Mashiach. Now we see that Kadosh Baruch Hu is saving his Mashiach, which is a reference to David HaMelech. But he, Rav Munk, suggests is also a remez to Bias HaMashiach, to Melech HaMashiach. And he thinks that the tour is already referencing this idea. And he goes on to say that the opening, Yancha Hashem b'yom tzara. So we've been using the language Eis Tzara not infrequently over the last couple of weeks. Rav Munk points out that terminology Eis Tzara is found in the closing parak of Daniel, in one of the prakim that deals with his nevuos, his visions of what's going to be right before Bias HaMashiach. And Daniel refers specifically to the time right before Bias HaMashiach as an Eis Tzara. And he sees in this parak sort of the general story of Jews going to war, and the sort of tefillos that we have in mind, and the Yeshua that we hope for, and the Miloi Mishalos Libenu that we hope for, but that it particularly resonates with the Milchamas Gog u'Magog, with the final battles in advance of Bias HaMashiach, and the ultimate Nirani Bishua Secha that will come at the end of the final battles. We are definitely close. We don't know how close. We know a Mashiach is coming. We don't know when. We hope it will be soon. Certainly, the final war before Bias HaMashiach, Yechezkel describes, Melchemes Gog u'Magog, will be a far-ranging war over who has control of Eretz Yisrael. And we hope and pray that this is the final war. And this is a mizmor that speaks to the everyday, but it's a mizmor that speaks to strengthening one's connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu and feeling close even when it's far every day. But it's particularly for Tzaras Milchama, and is, as Rav Munk says, it's perhaps its placement in the everyday davening alongside of Uval Letzion highlights the fact that even more so it's a reference to the final battles before Bias HaMashiach. Maybe Zochit to see him very, very soon. Thank you so much.
Right. So